Undercover Carson, Secret Agent. Operation Death Ray, an assignment in Rio.
Our next clue in the search for the Death Ray secret seemed to lie with a scientist called Chaka and some mysterious lights that never go out. The faithful Angelo was with us again, recovering in Sir Giles Davenport's apartment. But his renegade relative was still apparently at large, still free to trade certain information and wreck our plans. How could we stop him? I was in my hotel suite, thinking over this thorny problem and trying to puzzle out where the various women fitted into the picture. The vivacious bird painter, Hetty Fitzhenry. Helena Jansen. Faye Corelli. All growing more mysterious with each encounter. What rival powers did they represent? It was growing all the more baffling when Sir Giles made a surprise call.
I was over in this part of the city, Carson. Thought I'd drop in.
Oh, I was just about to phone you, Sam. How's Angelo?
I left him 2 hours ago. He seemed much brighter.
Yeah, good.
He has remarkable powers of recuperation, you know.
Tough chap, you're right.
Though it must have been some wallop to lay him out for so long.
The so-called relative, a madman, or so Angelo said.
Mad or otherwise, he's got us in a jam.
Yes, a bad one.
Hardly slept a wink worrying over it.
It's been on my mind all morning. Care for a drink, sir?
Not at the moment, thanks, old fellow. I had a couple with Julius.
Julius?
Commander Grant.
Oh, yes. Said you were calling on him or some such this morning.
That's what brought me out.
How was he?
His usual hearty self. And most helpful.
We're making some progress, then.
A little, I think. Anyway, Julius was about to contact us himself. After our last interview, if we might call it such, he got to thinking.
But he explained the story behind the lights that never go out.
Yes. And it's his fond belief that they were developed by some ancient civilization, and that the people may well have known something of the secrets of atomic power. However, we asked him if he knew of any explorer called Charco.
It didn't ring a bell.
Not at the time.
Then there is one?
Because, an old man, you're jumping the gun a little this morning, aren't you?
Trifle edgy, it seems. Sorry.
Have a drink yourself, if you feel so inclined.
No, sir. Go ahead. All ears.
Well, Julius explained that it was probably the way we pronounced the word that fooled him.
Charco?
Yes. Or it may have been that he went through the ranks of his fellow explorers for someone of that name. In any case, it wasn't an explorer, but rather the name of a region in the north of Argentine.
Chaco, yes, of course. Yeah. Well, that's spelt with a C. We've been thinking in terms of Chaco with a K.
Well, there it is, for what it's worth.
Hard to see where it helps any.
It's worth bearing in mind.
So, unlikely that fellow a native of the region.
Oh, I agree there. After all, we have pretty well established the fact that he was a European of some sort. One of a bunch of six scientists who landed in these parts with their secret.
On other hand, look how we were tricked last time.
How do you mean?
Anton Zarovsky.
Oh, our second bird.
Yes, that Pole. He spoke with a Scotch accent.
Indeed. And we never know in what strange trappings the remaining birds may be clothed.
So?
Anyway, Carson, I got talking with Julius. He's a splendid fella. Knows when to turn the blind eye.
You mean he doesn't ask why you're curious?
Exactly. So I brought up that other lead Angelo had given us.
Oh, yes, about seaplane being used by Chaco in search for the sight of fabulous lights.
Yes. The idea rather intrigued him.
Just intrigued?
Oh, I imagine he'll give the matter some thought. It may enable us to pinpoint some area worth investigating.
By seaplane?
Perhaps.
Well, that presents a problem.
Oh, have no fears about that, old fellow. I've charted as much as a 15,000-ton luxury liner on these weird assignments.
Was that for the celebrated Operation Magic Thimble?
Oh, no. Well before that. I organized a cruise for the well-heeled locals to West Indies beauty spots. On the suggestion of the boys on the Thames Embankment, of course.
Millionaire cruise.
That was the idea. The object being, of course, to get a number of people together in a confined space and let them clash. It was to clear up a gun-running racket. And it worked admirably. However, that's another matter.
Yes, sir.
For the present, we are occupied with Operation Death Ray, an immensely more serious assignment.
And if Angela's relative finds a bidder for his information, then it'll be very hard to convince people that I'm here as the rep of a British meat importing firm.
Indeed. And it would be disastrous for any of our rivals to have reasonably full access to our progress so far.
If such may be called progress.
It's dashed frustrating. Hey, come to think of it, I'll have a snort after all. I feel some...
That's the house phone, sir. Pardon me.
Go ahead.
Pour yourself a drink. All set up on the table.
No, I'll wait.
Carson.
Cag.
Flattered, my dear.
You know who this is?
Let me guess. Red hair, green eyes, paints birds.
Sure, brother. It's that wild Fitzhenry woman on your trail again. I'm downstairs.
Why there?
Well, just warning you that I'm coming right up. So slap on your best smile, you old son of a gun. Here I come.
It's Hetty, sir. She's coming straight up.
Then the drink will have to wait.
Must you go, sir?
Best I'm not seen with you too much. I'll slip out down the stairs and leave her to come up in the elevator. Besides, I want to get back to Angelo.
Please yourself, sir.
And watch yourself, Carson. This woman's after something.
I allowed myself to be warned. Sir Giles went down the stairs on his way back to his apartment and Angelo. Some seconds later, Hetty stepped out of the elevator, then into my suite.
So you were expecting me, Bruce.
Now, how did you guess that?
Everything all set up for drinks.
Oh, that.
Well, I'll be the candid creature I always am. I didn't come up just for that.
Then what?
Oh, you sidestepping so-and-so, hiding your face behind that great ugly pipe.
Ugly? Rather thought it a clever piece of carving. Javanese.
Shucks, what'll we have next?
Got Eskimo job, too. Care to...
Oh, no thanks. Might give me the horrors.
Man's best friend.
The horrors?
Pipe for me.
Well, let's get back to the subject, huh?
Oh, yes. You were telling me what a candid creature you are.
You know, honey, you say that just as if you figured that I was dead opposite.
How could I?
I don't know what you were thinking. And I don't know why you're here in South America. And I can't figure out why Man Friday hasn't been in touch with me again.
Oh, that's what it is.
I want to trade with him for this information about you and your true mission in South America.
Oh, Hetty, the whole thing's ridiculous.
Yeah?
I've spoken to Angelo, and he assures me he didn't contact you.
Now, listen, brother.
Hold on, Tig.
What are you aiming to do with that telephone?
Well, for safety's sake, I think perhaps I should ring management and have you ejected.
Shut out sounds more in keeping with the manly Bruce Carson I dream about. I've warned you, brother. I won't be stalled off indefinitely.
I'll stall a little longer. I must ring out.
Yeah? But who to?
Davenport Apartment.
Say, that Sir Giles is a real cute guy. I've been sort of tinkering with the notion of getting you all jealous. As things stand, I'll be written up in the horticultural history.
What's that?
Another way of saying that I'm a wallflower. But what's wrong? Man Friday taking the day off?
Angela should be there.
Might be looking for me someplace.
Why, sir?
To close that deal.
I thought he might settle any doubts for you. Howsoever...
You're hanging up.
So. Hetty, it's great to see you.
Say, what's all this about?
Well, let's have a drink. Forget everything.
Okay, honey. Get busy.
The trouble was that I couldn't forget about that unanswered phone. Perhaps it was wrong to expect Angela to answer, yet it seemed strange. As I sat there beside Hetty, vaguely aware that she was taking some pleasure out of my discomfort, I was working out how close Sir Giles would be to his apartment. Meanwhile, Hetty was closer.
You're like a cat on hot bricks.
How so?
All ready to jump if the glint in my eye gets any hotter.
Well, cool off then. Another drink?
Wouldn't trust myself. The Fitzhenry blood's racing all round the bodywork just like it was made out of a Catherine wheel.
Well, best we talk about birds, huh?
Sure. And I'll settle for one that stands about 6 feet 1 1/2 with wavy plumage on the top. Bruce, How about we go on a proper jaunt? You watching birds and me painting them.
Well, I've got local commitments, you know.
With that dancer?
Oh, no. Meat company I work for.
Mighty convenient alibi, that.
It's fact.
Okay, I'm the naive type. I'll string along. It's a mighty fine suite you have here.
I think so.
Oh, don't worry. I'm not contemplating moving in. I'm just enjoying the sticking around.
Certainly are. Oh, excuse me.
Go right ahead, honey.
Carson?
Good morning, Mr. Carson. It's your office here.
Oh, yes. How's everything this morning?
I fear I have a slight problem for you.
You have?
Yes, sir. This is Jackson. You understand, sir?
Yes, Mr. Jackson. I know who you are.
This staff trouble, you know, sir. That fellow we managed to locate. I fear he's slipped off somewhere again.
I see.
It's most aggravating, but I do think, sir, that it might help if you were to come down.
Well, I'll leave just as soon as possible.
Very well, sir, though I do hate to disturb you.
Oh, don't worry, Jackson. I'll see you shortly.
Very good, Mr. Carson.
Oh, well, Hetty, duty calls.
The company, huh?
Yes, seems to have some staff trouble.
Say, do you Britishers all talk alike?
Why do you ask?
Well, I couldn't help but overhear a lot of that. And it sounded kind of like Sir Giles.
Imagination.
I imagine all sorts of things when you're around, Carson. Anyway, I hope the trouble's not too serious.
She was laughing at me again. But Mr. Jackson was Sir Giles. He'd reached his apartment to find Angelo gone. What further complication was this to cause in Operation Death Ray?